It really blessed me when the service was about ready to get started, when Roger was led to begin singing, "He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord." Because that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. I feel led to talk about this because I've been sensing a change in the spirit of Adat. There's some really neat things happening. I sense a change in the hearts and the chemistry of when we come together. And I think it's significant, and I think it's strategic. Because as this world system continues to shake and rattle and tremble, and as created things continue to come apart and disintegrate, false gods of this world that people have invested everything in and put all of their hope and trust in, when they see all of that starting to come apart, then their hearts are filled with terror and anxiety and depression and hopelessness. They're going to be looking for relief. They're going to be looking for answers. They're going to be looking for comfort. To whom will they turn? What will be there for them unless the people of God are trained and prepared to do their job and to be a light in the darkness and a shofar blast on the horizon? And that would be us, little tiny Adat. Look at us, how few in number. How weak compared to, if you look in a horizontal direction, compared to the forces of the powers of darkness, compared to the resources that are behind them, compared to all of the voices that are in unison, rejecting the word of God, rejecting God, rejecting the people of God, working to figure out ways how they can legislate us into detention camps. Did you know? I looked this up on the internet, and it keeps coming up, that there's something like more than 600 big detention camps spread out around this country that nobody knows about or hears about. They're empty. They're huge. I wonder who they're for. At any rate, you know as well as I do that everything is in turmoil. It doesn't seem to be about to end anytime soon. So to have the privilege of being able to address my brothers and sisters of Adat is something I can't even put into words. Yes, when you look at horizontally, what is this? But we are called not to obsess over what is horizontal and temporal, for our kingdom is vertical. And we have something that we are connected with, that it is incumbent upon us. It doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands. It doesn't have to be divisions and regiments. All it takes is two or three to bring down what is in the kingdom of heaven upon this earth. And I think that the more this world rattles and rolls, the more we need to get in touch with who we really are and why we're really here. So I'll be going through quite a few texts So bear with me because I'm trying to articulate this. I'd like to start with Genesis 28, verses 10 to 17. I'm using the New American Standard. It says, Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. See, vertical. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven, Bethel. Centuries later, the living Word of God made flesh was on the earth, selecting his disciples. And suddenly Jacob's ladder appeared again to a man named Nathanael. John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51 says, the next day Yeshua purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Yeshua said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Yeshua saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. He says it like it is. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Yeshua answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Yeshua answered and said, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So Yeshua, the living Word of God made flesh, reveals that he is the fulfillment of Jacob's dream. Standing right there in front of those men. In John's gospel, he began to prepare those disciples to abide with Jacob's ladder even after his death. But how could they do that? How could they continue to obey these commands after he's gone? In John 15, 4-8, he told them, just before he's ready to die, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove yourselves to be my disciples. If Yeshua is Jacob's ladder and also God's vine, then he is the only one that can produce this fruit, whatever that fruit is. The disciples, the branches, can only bear the fruit for the vine. But the vine has to be there, connected to his branches, before the fruit can come into our world. Can you see Jacob's ladder and how it works? Jacob's ladder connects people on earth to the highest place in heaven, and it connects the highest place in heaven right here in our midst on the earth. And when that connection is evident and working, that's fruit. So, what's the job description of disciples? They live with their master day and night. They interact with him. They screw up in front of him and he teaches them and corrects them. He says, watch me, watch me. And then he does what he does and he says, now you try. Watch me interact with the Holy Spirit. Watch me connect with my Father in the highest heaven. Watch, watch, watch. And then, boom, here comes a fruit. The presence of heaven right here in our midst, that's the fruit. And then he says, now you try. And after I'm risen and ascended into heaven, keep doing this with me. Abide in me and I in you. How can we be his disciples when we can't touch him or feel him or hear him like they used to be able to do? Many believers in Christendom today think they can abide in him by joining the congregation and showing up for services and classes and functions. You can do all that and still be completely oblivious of him. You could be so busy doing that that you don't have time to think of him. Some think you can do it by study. But have you noticed that I've done it, study, 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 study. After a while, it gets so monotonous and boring. And then when I'm in trouble, it just dribbles out of my ears and I can't even remember my name. Doesn't do me much good when I need it. Head knowledge. No wonder the world says this is the post-Christian era. No wonder they classify Christianity as just another one of the world religions with a dead founder in a book. There's got to be more to it than that. What is Christendom doing now that would get hordes of Jewish people and Muslim people and biker gangs and media moguls and Hollywood superstars to fall on their face before God and weep over their sins and ask for forgiveness? Are we doing anything that causes them to do that? No. They're building concentration camps and they don't want to hear us. We're a pest. We're impeding progress. We're enemies of the common good. But they're not really impressed with us personally. So let me offer you some scripture texts that we can all pray and ponder over. We have in Christendom, in many, many areas, we have the same problem the original disciples had. Right after Yeshua was executed, they had this problem. They did not believe in the resurrection. And neither do many, many, many people that call themselves Christians or messianics. We give it lip service. We put it in our statement of faith. But actually, in our real, everyday, nitty-gritty lifestyle, we don't really believe it. After Yeshua was crucified and buried, the disciples were devastated, naturally. They didn't know what to do. So they did nothing but hide from the religious establishment and hang out with each other, cry over their losses, and eat. So the Lord had to train them to make the switch over from knowing him in the flesh to a whole new way of operating with him and abiding in him so that they could enter into the new covenant era of God's story with the human race that was just beginning. He had to teach them how to switch gears, reset their computers, and get to know him in the Holy Spirit by faith. Matthew 16, verses 9 to 20, really brings this out. The problem that they had. It says, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way in the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed, believed what? What's the context? Believed in theology? Believed in doctrine? No. Believe that he's risen from the dead. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Like branches that are not abiding in the vine. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. I thought he went up there. But he worked with them. See Jacob's ladder? The vertical people. They don't look like much, but just two or three of them have the authority and are equipped by the Holy Spirit to make Jacob's ladder appear in their midst. Earlier, the Lord had told them this, John 16, 7 to 15. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. There's the ladder. The secret to the new covenant form of discipleship is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we carry with us wherever we go, if we believe it. Through the Spirit, Yeshua won't just be near us. He is in us and in our midst. Now that is messianic. Never again do they ever have to be alone, even if nobody else is around them. The Holy Spirit gives them total access to their new covenant birthright inheritance that God has for them in the highest level of the heavens. Total open access, a continual pipeline of interactive commerce between the kingdom of heaven and this demon-possessed world. As long as there are disciples who abide in Yeshua and Yeshua abides in them in our midst. I am so blessed when I see a dot people being raised up by God to become intercessors before our services that faithfully gather together. And when they do, there's the ladder in their midst. And the messages from them go up the ladder to our Heavenly Father through our High Priest. And the messages from the Father come down, the responses to the prayers of His children come down. Oh, that blesses me. That is so powerful. Yeah. And we're going to see some fruit coming from that like you can't believe. But in every one of our homes, two or three of us could do the same thing. We don't look like much, but you ought to get a load of our Lord. He's real and he's risen and he's right here. Of course, this can't work if we don't believe it. If it's not real to us, if it's just head knowledge instead of gut knowledge. So after he rose from the dead, the Lord had to begin teaching and training them and showing them how this works. They had to learn to abide with him by faith and not by sight, so that he could continue to reveal his risen presence in their midst. I can't go to a whole bunch of a Hell's Angels convention and say, Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. You better straighten up. You know what's going to happen to me? I'm suddenly going to be in heaven facing Father. You had the guts to face a Hell's Angel convention? Yes, I did. Yes. How long ago was that? About a minute ago. No, that's not going to do it. So he had to really teach them the reality of this. So he began to play peekaboo with his disciples. See? They're sitting there crying in their food and bemoaning their fate. And all of a sudden, there he is. Hello, boys. Remember me? See? And then he disappears. And then he's back. By the way, Thomas, I heard that. Come here. I want to show you something. Look. And he's showing them, even if you can't see me, you can see me or you can't see me. It doesn't make any difference. I'm here. I'm always here with you. Well, he wasn't just saying that to them. He was saying that to us. I mean, just get a load of that right now. The risen Lord of glory is right here with us. Right now. All the time. You brought him in with you. You're going to take him out when you leave. Jacob's ladder can appear wherever there's a disciple. And when they get together, wow, look out. Two or three. Wow. Gets more plain and more obvious the more they come together as a body. His body. That will get the Hell's Angels' attention. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care what they think they are. It's not about us or how cool we are or how much we know. It's about who we bring in with us. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico, but none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Wow, what a ladder. Was it because the believers were so hot? It was because they had the privilege and the commission and the responsibility of abiding in their master day and night, living with him, focusing on him, interacting with him, doing everything together with him as one. It was all about him, not about anything else on this earth. It was about him being brought down. It was about that connection of abiding in the risen Lord by faith in the Spirit. It certainly wasn't because they had the greatest evangelism technique you ever saw. They did not go out to plant churches. They went out in all directions to proclaim, Jesus is the Messiah. Yeshua is the Lord God made flesh. And yes, you killed him, but he's raised from the dead. And if you don't believe it, watch. Wow. Woo. He's here. Watch. Don't look at us. Just watch. And Yeshua himself, the ladder of Jacob, would prove that what they were proclaiming was true by showing himself to the unbelievers in ways they could never, never deny or escape. That'll get them, boys. Talk doesn't get them. But Jacob's ladder will get them. As long as we have disciples that abide with him, as if he's really honest to God here all the time. They won't be forgetting him or ignoring him. They won't be getting all obsessive over things about him. They won't have time to do anything but honor him and worship him and proclaim him. Acts 16, verses 22 to 30. The crowd rose up together against them, Paul and Silas. And the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, they don't look too impressive, do they? Doesn't sound like anybody's listening to them. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. See the ladder? And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself. We're all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There is no substitute for the ladder of Jacob. There is no substitute for our risen master. Nobody else is going to pierce, penetrate, and impregnate human hearts but him, the living Word of God, come to save his people. And he's here. What else could be more important than that? Yeshua is the one that will get the world's attention as soon as he has our attention. God's agenda and the Bible's agenda is to reveal the Son in our midst. His agenda is to reveal His Son to us, in us, and through us. Period. Because all things necessary are contained in Him. And God has told us that because of Yeshua's finished work and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to proclaim and testify to the reality of His resurrection. They didn't have to go out planning churches. That was the last thing that entered their mind. That was an afterthought. That was a result. That came in the wake of the resurrection and its proclamation. He's real. He's risen from the dead. He's the Lord. Deal with it. He's right here. Watch. Bam. They're all over the floor. What do we do? What do we do? Tell us. I guess we better get a congregation started here. Clean up this mess and put some order in it. And start discipling these people. That's how it spread. That's how it always spreads. There is no other way it can spread except through the resurrection and its reality and its aliveness and its presence in the midst of His people. So I will leave you, we're running out of time, with one more text. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, with Messiah, see, you are there before the Father in Him. So that He can be here before men in us. That makes the ladder. That's how it works. Since you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above. Bring them down where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on what the world's doing, not on the detention camps, not on the firing squads, not on what they're saying, but what God said through His Word made flesh. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Messiah in God. And when Messiah, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. His glory. Not the glory of how great we are. His glory. His presence. His reality. His truth. There is nothing in all creation that can stand against the Word of God. So why don't we focus on Him and bring Him on down and see what happens. Amen.